Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If ever there was a parable that strikes at the heart of our sense of fairness, this is it. For while we know and acknowledge the absolute truth of Jesus' words, yet this whole scenario just doesn't feel right. Our sense of fair play is disrupted. Not so much by the landowner's generosity to the latecomers, but more so by his seeming disregard for those who labored throughout the day. It just doesn't seem right that those who worked the longest and the hardest should get the same pay as those who barely worked at all. You know, where's the justice in that? And if that becomes the issue and the point upon which we focus when we study this parable, then not only are we going to be bothered or disturbed by this story, but we're also going to misunderstand it, and then consequently also misunderstand the kingdom of heaven. This parable is not a parable to teach us about the justice system that is at work in the kingdom of heaven. It is not a parable taught by Jesus in order to change the people's idea of what constitutes fairness in the kingdom of heaven. It is a parable to teach us about the generosity of the landowner and thus the generosity of God. Note that Jesus does not say that the kingdom of heaven is like a bunch of day laborers who went out to work one day. Some at the break of day, some at the third hour, some at the sixth hour, some at the ninth, some not till the 11th hour. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. For you see, the focus of the parable is the landowner, not the workers. Too often people read this parable and they want to make it about the workers. And then they interpret this parable by saying that it doesn't really matter when you come to Christ in your life, whether you come to know Him as your Savior as a baby through baptism or sometime as a teenager, as an adult, or maybe not to the last hours of your life, as in the case of the thief on the cross, that no matter when, your reward in heaven will be exactly the same as everyone else's. Regardless of the length of one's life and service in the kingdom, we all get the exact same reward. And if this story were an allegory instead of a parable, that might be a fair interpretation. But this isn't an allegory. And such an understanding conflicts with other teachings of Jesus. For example, Jesus said in the parable of the talents, "For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away." Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Jesus speaks to James and John about his right and his left hand when he comes into his glory. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells of a great reward in heaven that will be given to those who have suffered insult and injury for the sake of his name. And thus, to interpret this parable in such a way as to say that our life and faith and journey and service and sacrifice in this world for the sake of Christ are irrelevant, that those things don't matter, that we're all going to get the same reward anyway, is to miss the point of this parable. As I said before, this parable is not about the workers, or even about the payment that they received, the reward, if you will. It is about the landowner and his generosity. The kingdom of heaven in this parable about our generous God, a God who loves us and blesses us and gives his gifts to us according to his love, not according to our perceived merit. The scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ died for our sins once for all, and that it is through his suffering, death, and resurrection that we are saved. God's word informs us that everyone has sinned and has fallen short of God's glory, but that we are made right with God freely through the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His word states in no uncertain terms that it is by God's grace and mercy and love and generosity that we have been and are saved through the blessing and through the gift of faith. And that none of this is the result or the product of any work or service that we have done. No matter how long or little we have labored in the fields, this reward of heaven is entirely a gift of God's grace, so that no one can boast. And also, so that no one can complain, nor grumble, nor question, nor debate God's fairness. You see, all of it, every last bit of it, is a result of God's generosity. You know, sometimes I think in our arrogance, we can be a little judgmental of others for perhaps how little they do to serve and to help out, whether it be here at church or out in the community. We reason that it's not fair that we're putting in all this time and all this energy and maybe all this money and such, volunteering and working, and that God treats us all the same. And then other times we may be on the other side of that, feeling a little guilty, because we know that we haven't been as involved and as faithful as other people, that we haven't been giving and serving and helping and volunteering, maybe even worshiping as much as we should. And we don't really deserve for God to give us what he's giving to everyone else. But all of those thoughts have absolutely nothing to do with this parable, but everything to do with the deceptions and the lies of Satan. For what better way for the devil to infiltrate and infect the church than to stir up feelings of jealousy and guilt among its people? The kingdom of heaven is not like a bunch of jealous workers. It is like a very generous landowner. May we always see in this parable and throughout God's word that our God is a generous and gracious God, that he has forgiven us always and only because of the death and the resurrection of his Son Jesus, and that all that we have and all that we are is due solely to his grace and his generosity. Therefore, to God and God alone be the glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.